This is CliffCentral.com.
I don't even know what went on there. I mean, just can this goddamn song. And Amy Winehouse, first thing on a Monday morning. What's happening here, Sia?
It was the quickest thing on the system.
All right. It's time for the Burning Platform with Mr. Justice Malala. It comes to you usually on a Thursday this morning, and for the next couple of weeks, it's going to be on Monday. So you could start your week with all the important things in your head, and you can get to the office and sound really smart. Someone says to you, you know, what do you say? Is there going to be a recall this week? And you can go, Say, I listened to...
I feel something in my bones.
Oh, something's in the water, huh?
There's a lot of talk about when it's going to happen. You heard that President Zuma was supposed to go off to Liberia for the inauguration of the new president. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is
she's
going.
Out.
She's out. And who's the footballer? George Weah.
Yep. He won the Ballon d'Or, which means that Lionel Messi will be the president of Catalonia in 5 years. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
take that and make sure that in 5 years you haul it
out. So he was meant to go to this, but he's now here.
Now he's here.
And the president always likes to leave when there's a crisis.
Oh, no, the president likes going somewhere, you know, a bit of get on busy. The jet plane and see the sights and sound around.
Fire up those engines and get the hell out of here.
Indeed.
So, Justice, it is the Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's. Let's get straight into it. So what's he doing?
What he's doing is he's staying. People are not sure what is on his diary because the diary had been cleared for him to go to Liberia. So there's a lot of talk about, is this it for President Jacob Zuma? As we said last Thursday, it's no longer about is this it? It's when is it? And the when is a matter of huge debate. A lot of people are saying Wednesday. There's all sorts of talk coming out of the NEC this past weekend saying he was told that by Tuesday, Baba, you need to have given a little letter to your organization, and then on Wednesday you make the announcement. There is nothing to verify all this talk, but it's a lot of corridor talk. So I think we're in for it's going to be an exciting week anyway. Think about it. Today, Katani Mahlangu will appear before the...
We've been waiting for this, the life estimeni hearings.
The life estimeni hearings.
In front of Dikang Moseneke.
On Thursday, I believe... Museveni Zwane is supposed to appear before before Parliament, one of the committees there.
Do you think he's going to try and run? He's going to try and get out of the country.
I don't know if
Gupta
you guys.
Masters in Dubai.
What has been happening this past weekend with the Assad forfeiture unit giving us the detail of what happened with that farm in the Free State, the Vrede farm, and how basically Museveni Zwane and Ace Magashule approved this project. And the minute it was approved, monies started going out, not to a single beneficiary, a single ordinary Free Stater, but they just started coming out one after the other. 10 million rand to Atul Gupta, 4 million rand to this one, 16 million rand to Oak Bay. They just moved money, 220 million rand. And what the Asset Forfeiture Unit has begun to do is say these are the proceeds of crime. So they're going to go to the Gupta family compound or to one of their premises and say, you took millions from us. We're going to just take this property and keep it for ourselves so that we know that even if you run away, we've got our money back.
Security. But is there enough property? Because they've secreted, according to insiders, they've secreted a lot of this cash away.
There is a lot of cash is gone. A lot of cash is gone. But remember that nowadays you can't just move money. There is a money trail. The FIC, the Financial Intelligence Center, must have and has had. In fact, if you ask people at the FIC, if you ask people at the Reserve Bank like Kuben Naidu and others, they'll tell you that, no, we've had this information about millions and hundreds of millions and billions moving around from here to there and so forth.
So what, are they just sitting on their hands the whole time? Now they're waiting for Cyril to come in?
Well, this is where actually that question of yours is so important. Let's say, why is it the asset forfeiture unit is moving now? Why is it that that the Eskom board was only changed on Saturday? The real reason why all this is happening, and you've used that expression, I've used that expression, people have used that expression all the time, it's that it rots from the head. If you think about, there is a lady, we've talked about this on the show, at Eskom, her name is Suzanne Daniels, she's the head of legal at Eskom. She went to the parliamentary committee last year, and she said, in June, I think it was June 26th, she was invited to a meeting by Salim Essa, who who is part owner of Trillion Capital, which is linked to the Guptas. She gets called to Melrose Arch, and he says, come, let's have a coffee. They sit in a coffee shop, and he says, actually, there's another meeting. Let's go together. He takes her into this apartment building. They go up the lift. They open the door. There's Atul Gupta, there's the Deputy Minister of Public Enterprises, there's a few other individuals. In that meeting, Atul, one of the Gupta, says to her, what's happening with Brian Molefe's disciplinary hearing? She says, oh yeah, it's happening on the whatever of November. He says, oh, don't worry, I'm going to call someone. It's not a disciplinary hearing. It's a hearing in court. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that it only happens after the ANC conference. So in June last year, these are people who believe that they are in power. Mm-hmm. And if things don't work out in those 6 months, in December, at the ANC conference, they're going to consolidate power. They're going to put their own candidate in. And after that, it was going to be business as usual in South Africa. And I think something horrific has happened in South Africa over the past 5-10 years. And that is this. Everything was run politically. So civil servants at Eskom had to do what political heads were telling them, even if it was criminal. The asset forfeiture unit has not moved on a single person implicated in the Gupta scandals.
Right.
Until today, and that is because the asset forfeiture unit falls under the NPA, and the NPA is run by Sean Abrams. So what you've had is a theft, is the stealing of the state. And what happened in Nasrec in December, and Cyril Ramaphosa's win, has suddenly cut out that political connection, that political protection that so many of these guys enjoyed. So it's key to see that in this context. So now you're seeing this clean sweep across our political firmament and our civil service, and it's really because a new sheriff is in town and the sweep is happening, and it's happening fast.
He started at Eskom, so maybe you should look at that quickly, because Cyril's flexing his muscle there, and everybody who thought he was going to be a lame duck and just wait for things to fall in his lap is getting a bit of a surprise. So Eskom is in dire straits at the moment, and I love the way that Malusi Gigaba is busy saying, oh, this is the end of Eskom, would be the end of South Africa, this is the largest crisis, and he was one of the people who was involved in creating this crisis.
Malusi Gigaba, like quite a few others,
he's culpable.
He's culpable, and he's going to have to account down the line. Let me just remind you, because people used to say, "Oh, you know, justice. Oh, you guys hate Malusi Gigaba." I actually like Malusi Gigaba. I've been a fan of the guy since the 1990s when he became president of the ANC Youth League. You know, Thabo Mbeki loved that guy. He thought, ah, here's someone educated, got a master's degree, speaks so well. This is the future of the ANC. He's going to do well. Think about two incidents. We've spoken about this. Malusi Gigaba had an advisor, not just any old advisor, a legal advisor. This is the guy who says, this is how you keep clean. This is how we make sure things are according to the law. That legal advisor, his name is Siya, not Asia, different Siya, Mahlangu.
Mm-hmm.
Siya Mahlangu is alleged, it was on the front page of the Sunday Times, took the head, the acting head at the time, I think his name was Guyana, of SAA to the Gupta household, where this man was offered cash. He was told, "We are so happy you've been appointed. We want to work with you. You must work with us. Here's 500,000 rand for you to enjoy in the meantime."
Now, this is just as an illustration of what we were talking about earlier. You say you can always track money. These guys seem to have worked in a lot of cash.
They had a lot of cash.
Which is very difficult to track.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the issues
I mean, there were even discussions around the ANC's elective conference that there were packets of money being passed around.
Well, now that we're hearing the story of Captain KGB, the convicted criminal who is also an NIA operative, that he had a 50 million rand budget.
Slush fund.
For the Mangaung conference. So think about how many poor delegates. Oh, Delegate Malala from Hammanskraal arriving there, and he's, you know, someone flashes a mere 50,000 rand in front of him.
You'll do whatever he
says. Oh, yes, I'll vote. So maybe we need to ask ourselves, how did Jacob Zuma get 75% of the vote in Mangaung? Maybe some wheels were oiled there. But anyway, coming back to Malusi Gigaba. Malusi Gigaba's special advisor went with the head of the SAA and sat there as the man was offered 500,000 rand. The man said, "No way, how dare you?" He left and he told the press what had happened. That's number one. Did Malusi Gigaba fire him? No. This guy, now you say, where did the money go? This man, Mahlangu, was built a house by the Guptas. And the builders were paid by the Guptas. And it would be interesting for me to see where he is today and whether there's going to be action against him. Last year, Brian Dames, who used to be the head of the CEO of Eskom, says this very same man came to his office and said, "The minister would like you, we'd like you to do something for us, and we want you to meet some people that we'd like you to work with." Okay. Well, the CEO says, "Well, this is from the minister's office. I'll do it." This is when Malusi Gigaba was the public enterprises minister. Oh, lo and behold, they get in a car, they go to Midrand. And who's in the room? It's the Guptas.
These guys are everywhere. I mean, how come I haven't ever walked into a room and they're all sitting there? I mean, Mabali, where's yours? Like, have you seen them in a restaurant or?
Gareth, we are not important people. Why would the Guptas ever make themselves visible to us in a room? But they've got nothing that we can help them with.
It's like in a movie where
someone offer me 500,000 rand.
Sorry, you're just not important enough, Justice.
All right, so this guy, this Siya Mahlangu, he was basically the hatchet man then for Malusi, and Malusi therefore is culpable, and therefore Eskom is his fault.
In fact, you're absolutely on the money, and the question that needs to be asked is not even to Siya Mahlangu or to whoever.
It's Malusi.
It's Malusi Gigaba who needs to say this happened. He can't get away with walking around next to Cyril Ramaphosa, because that's what he's doing now. Everywhere Cyril goes, he's sitting next to him and saying, "Yes, we are going to this." Yesterday, extraordinarily, he was on ENCA saying, "Yes, if those who are accused of wrongdoing," he has known about all these things for years. He was the head of SAA. Let me remind you of the biggest of these things. It was under Malusi Gigaba that the board, a very competent board that had people like Dave Lewis from Corruption Watch, that had people from who's the guy from Power FM, he's the co-head of Power FM, he does a business show, CASA, very bright, very qualified. It's old radio, don't worry about it. There were people like Cheryl Carlos on that board. Board was dismantled, and which board came in?
This current rotten one?
No, not this new one, which was forced upon him at SAA.
Tell us.
It was the one led by Dudu
Mieni.
So we sit here and talk about these problems at Eskom, these problems at SAA. Where did they start? They started on his watch. He cannot be the person to clean up. when he's the person who put them in place.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things about what is happening, just to segue from that, is that there are a lot of people who are part and parcel of the Jacob Zuma train, people who are deeply implicated in some of the things that are happening, people who are now singing a very different tune.
Well, the hand that feeds them, right?
Exactly. So I was interested in a statement by Kebi Mapatswe. Kebi Mapatswe, who...
Big supporter of the president.
Very big supporter of the president.
He was very vocal around the elective conference on Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's behalf. And he said that the MK, Military Veterans Association, was behind her lock, stock.
Exactly. And so... lo and behold, the MKMVA is now saying, we will support any decision that the ANC makes around Jacob Zuma and his exit. Which I thought, wow, that's good to hear. That's interesting to hear. But first of all, MKMVA received monies from the Guptas. MKMVA could pick up the phone and say to the Gupta brothers' media empire, The New Age and AN7, that we want to come on to rubbish Cyril Ramaphosa's name, to rubbish anyone who stood against Jacob Zuma, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. And now, here they are saying, oh, well, it's the same thing that Figile Mbalula was doing last week, saying, oh, Cyril Ramaphosa's election is so good for the fight against corruption and crime. This is the beginning of a new era. Blah, 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 blah. It's all good and so forth.
It's amazing how they turn on a dime, huh?
So I think one of the things, and I was one of those people, when Cyril Ramaphosa was elected with just a 179 margin, with two of the top six being Zuma people, and by that I mean Jesse Duarte, the deputy secretary, and Ace Magashule, the secretary general. We all said then that he's going to have a tough time because, you know, he's going to be sitting in, like we are sitting in this studio, with at least two of his top six, possibly with Didi Mabuza and Paul Mashatile, three against three, and it was going to be tough for him to impose his will, to clean up as he wishes to do, and so forth. But what we are seeing now is
they're falling into line.
They're falling into line. The idea that there is a Zuma faction is no longer there.
He's not at the controls. Why would you want to be loyal to him?
So you can imagine right now, probably the one person left in the so-called Zuma faction, the one person still holding on, is Batabile Dlamini and the ANC Women's League. And before long, I tell you, there will be calls for her to account. This week she's appearing in court to argue that she shouldn't pay out of her pocket some of the legal costs around the SASA issues. And so I think what we're seeing here is the remaking of the ANC, at least for now, into one entity, or an entity where Cyril Ramaphosa is in charge, and others are just falling into line around him. But the pushback, as it were, is falling apart. And the key thing is this: if you are Kebi Mapatswe and you say, "Yeah, if they get rid of Jacob Zuma, we will split from the ANC." Can you imagine Kebi Mapatswe on the campaign trail? Hey, Mabale, vote for me.
That's gonna shake the world.
I mean, political parties have tried to start and have failed in South Africa. But Kebi Mapatswe knows that the only reason why he's in any kind of power is because the ANC brand. But after that, Kevin Mapatswe would be a non-entity.
What's happened to all those people who we were talking about before the ANC elective conference? All those heroes, like who was that woman who wanted to? You see, I can't even remember who wanted to start her own party and leave the ANC. And
Makosi
Kwaza. Makosi Kwaza. You see how we haven't even spoken about her in like 4 months? What's happened to her?
Well, Makosi Kwaza did start her own party.
Yeah, well, what's happened there?
She's talking to people. She's joined Twitter.
But it's gone badly because...
It's gone badly.
Because if Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma had won, then she would have had a new center of power to form around her.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, so she's kind of... She's really just going to disappear into the wilderness.
And I think if you look at, and we've spoken about how Cyril Ramaphosa has undercut the opposition. Part of Cyril, of what's happening with people like Makosi Kwaza is, what do you say when you say we are for clean governance and Cyril Ramaphosa cleans up the stables at Eskom?
Well, is he? I mean, you know, it's baby steps.
Baby steps, baby steps. But
we give him the benefit of the doubt.
He started okay. And you say it's Jacob Zuma is a thief and this. And Jacob Zuma, on Wednesday or on February 8th or whichever, there's Jacob Zuma saying, thank you so much. You've been so good to me. And he steps out. And there's action by the Hawks, by the, asset forfeiture unit, by the NPA even, with charges against various people. Suddenly the reason why you exist,
it's gone.
It's hugely questionable. So I think people like, and a lot of people, Makosi Kwaza is a hugely capable person. You interviewed her here.
I don't think she's been on this show, but she's been here.
Yeah. Yes. But she is hugely capable. For me, I would say, wow, the tide has changed. If there is... One of the things that happened at this NEC at the weekend was that the ANC took the decision that in KwaZulu-Natal, there'll be a task team. In the Free State, there'll be a task team. So these are two of Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's two support bases.
You almost said Jacob Zuma. That's what you mean. Yeah. Interchangeable.
Yes. I mean, we can say it now.
But
Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma was a Jacob Zuma project.
Stooge,
it failed.
Failed. So what you were going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you here, is that there could be, I mean, if someone like Makosi Kwaza had to return to the fold now, abandon all these ridiculous plans of starting some new party. Okay. Say, look, you know, I believe in Cyril. She could be a cabinet minister.
She could very easily
and
be a cabinet
minister.
It would
be a symbolic appointment if they decided to put her into, you know, public enterprises.
Because exactly.
We know she's scrupulous.
She was fantastic in the SABC inquiry.
And they'd say, look, no hard feelings.
Exactly. I think Cyril should do some of those symbolic acts. What happened with Makosi Kwaza was absolutely the depths of depravity of the Zuma administration.
Let's you remember
not forget.
They were threatening her children.
Exactly.
She was living in fear. I mean, this was not something to be scoffed at.
Her children were being followed. The ANC Youth League in KwaZulu-Natal put her address on social media and said, this is where this traitor lives.
Hey, speaking of the Youth League, what's happened with Oros?
Oros has been very, 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 very quiet. Remember that he's got issues himself. He
took some Gupta money, didn't he?
Well,
they say he's also living in a house they built for him.
He bought a house. I think it was 5.6 million rand, if I'm not wrong. He got, now many of you run off and get your bond from, you know, one of the top four, or top five banks. He didn't get his bond from there. He got a bond from, the bank that is so implicated in the Zuma, in the Gupta financial transactions. And that's the Bank of Baroda. So,
I wouldn't even know where to go.
I wouldn't know where.
The only way he knew where to go was because he had the whole thing was done through one of the Gupta lawyers. So one begins to ask, how could he pay a bond of 160,000 rand, I believe it was. I don't have the figure in front of me. And that question keeps on being asked. And that bond was paid off very quickly with huge transactions from a certain family. By the way, he's not alone in this. You'll remember that one of Jacob Zuma's wives, I think it was wife number three, also had a house bought through the Bank of Baroda which he still lives in yeah. Pretoria. Yeah. And also every month
there are a lot of payments. There are a lot of kept people.
There are lots of kept people. And they are suddenly realizing that actually it could be very cold so in South Africa.
Justice, is there a I was talking to Mabali and Sia and Ben this morning about the supposed bunker and then Gandla, where they've got just tons of cash and gold and God knows what else. Mm. Do you believe in any of that? I mean, News 24 published a story about how when Thuli Madonsela went there to inspect, she was stopped from seeing what was in the bunker.
Yes.
And now, I don't know if I just like a good conspiracy theory or if I like those movies where they discover treasure. But is there perhaps this stockpile of cash and weapons and God knows what else underneath Nkandla? Is it possible?
I think, look, I think that bunkers do exist.
Yeah.
I think that Jacob Zuma now, if you watch his public appearances, let's say he goes to the ANC's January 8th statement, if you count the number of bodyguards around him,
he's got a lot to worry about, judging by his bodyguards.
This man walks around with 20 to 25
yes.
bodyguards.
Yeah, what's that all about?
A motorcade of 22 cars.
What's that?
Now, you think about South Africa, I mean, we have a history of violence in the past, but since 1994,
yeah.
Really? Who's going to murder the president of South Africa? Do people really want to do this
and
so forth? And Jacob Zuma in particular? So when you see a president who is that paranoid, the only president I know who used to do this sort of thing was Muammar Gaddafi.
Right.
Of Libya. Now, Muammar Gaddafi was notorious for driving around with massive motorcades, with hundreds of thousands of dollars and maybe millions of dollars in the cars, in bunkers, in houses, all over. Sometimes he even forgot about, I've got a couple of $100 million in the spare room, and so forth and so forth. It's the stuff of, it's like reading about Pablo Escobar.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's crazy. I do think that there's cash. Julius Malema once said that there is money being loaded onto private
planes.
Jets. By the Guptas, and this is a couple of years ago when the pressure was on. And I think there's definitely some of that going on. Yeah. Where it is, whether it's in Gandla or somewhere in a little bunker at the Union Buildings, I'm not sure. One of the things that interested me about this past weekend was that the words that kept on coming out of the NEC was that, President Zuma says, yes, I understand that you want me to go, but I just need to tie up a few loose ends.
Right.
Now, brothers, help me here. What loose ends are you tying up? What exactly are we talking about here that needs tying up? So I'm quite interested in that sort of thing. What do you need to do? Because, Jacob Zuma moved into Mahlamba Ndlovu when Thabo Mbeki was kicked out. After Kgalema Motlanthe had been president for a couple of months, 9 months or so. So, you don't bring your, what do you need to do?
What's this all about?
What does he need to tie up? Is he going to announce a state of emergency? What's he going to do that in these few days, weeks, whatever? Anyway, so I think we might be in for, I think a raid on the Gupta family compound would be interesting, but I suspect that the cash is gone.
Yeah, already. I don't think there's anything left there.
I think that a lot of that has already is in Dubai and other places. I think that someone like Peter Louis Myberg, who wrote that book, The Republic of Gupta, is very interesting. And him and another reporter at Rapport called Erica Gibson, they have this. I think people who love aviation and flying can do this quite easily, but they can see exactly where this Gupta private jet is and where it's flying to. So one of the things that I picked up from Peter Louis Marbeck about 2 weeks ago was the fact that it was in Switzerland. That's dirty money being washed in some Swiss bank right there.
Jeez.
So you know,
this is a great. This will be an even better story than the one that Peter Louis Marbeck and Jacques Poe wrote before.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The follow-up, what happens to the dirty money?
Exactly. Oh. I think Henny van Vieren, who has written beautifully about money stashed away by the apartheid regime, is going to have a lot of work following up on this bit of cash. So this story is not about to end. There's a lot more going to happen with this shenanigans that we're seeing here.
Well, let's keep an eye. That's what we check in with you every week for.
Yeah.
Bit of political gossip as well. Let's not mess around.
It's always good to have a bit of that.
Now, how many? I mean, Cyril, if he's president of the country, I mean, let's just skip ahead a little bit. We're going to save. Oh no, we won't save because we've got to keep paying for Jacob, right?
Yes,
and his wives.
Yes.
So we've got to keep his household in the state to which they're accustomed.
Yes.
Unless he goes to jail.
Unless he goes to jail, unless he refuses to resign. And on Friday the 9th, Julius Malema stands up, or Jackson Mthembu stands up and says, I'd like to propose a motion to impeach the president.
Then we stop paying for him as well.
That an impeachment means that you are a delinquent and you are out.
That goes without saying.
Yes.
Do we really have to go through the process?
Was it Julius Malema who said it's a constitutional delinquent? Anyway, so if he's impeached or if he's convicted of crimes related to his stay in office, then he won't get a pension and all the benefits are. But I don't know why we're going on about the benefits. I mean, Duduzane Zuma is a billionaire on the basis of the monies that he got paid from his association with the Gupta. So he'll look after his dad. So I don't think that's quite a big thing. I'm sure that Jacob Zuma himself, if he's convicted, will have a lot of kickbacks that came to him stashed away all over the world from them. But anyway... if he resigns today or tomorrow, as the rumors have it, and he announces on Wednesday, he keeps all of that. So you'll remember that Baleka Mbete was the deputy president of South Africa for a while.
That's
after
right.
Thabo Mbeki
still lives in that state.
Exactly. So Kgalema Motlanthe for 9 months or 10 months was president of South Africa.
So we're paying for him as well.
We're paying for him as well.
And F.W. de Klerk. And
F.W. de Klerk. Exactly.
Right. Didn't Mangosuthu also get for a little while? Or was he never really?
No. He acted in the position. But, you know, you need to be careful of Mangosuthu because the last time he acted in that position, he invaded.
He declared war, yeah.
Yes.
Can I ask why countries continue to pay for their presidents? It's not as if they need it.
I mean, they can earn money. What? They can earn money on the speaking circuit.
Why do countries do that? I don't understand.
It's because the impulse.
Who makes the rules, Mabs? The politicians. That's why.
The impulse behind it is that you've given so much to the nation.
Yeah, and during your term, we gave you quite a bit.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, your salary wasn't 10,000 rand a month.
Yes. It's a bit like...
And the perks. The perks. I mean, you get... Okay, so what this includes is free state housing.
They pay...
You get bodyguards, you get cars.
Yes, you get an office.
Your salary for the rest of your life.
Oh.
Get an office.
Yeah.
You have no expenses.
You get staff, administrative staff. You get a spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
All of those paid for by the state. So think about, for example, Thabo Mbeki. When he left, he had Mukoni Rachitanga was his spokesperson. Still works for him as a spokesperson and does all sorts of other things. So that office moved with him too, and he started a little foundation and so forth. So there's that, and then he gets paid his salary. So what Jacob Zuma gets paid, Thabo Mbeki gets paid. And we don't do this for heads of state only, by the way. If you're a judge, you continue pretty much along the same lines. So Let's take Chief Justice, Deputy Chief Justice Dikgang Mosoneke. He's receiving exactly what he received when he was the Deputy Chief Justice. All the others, all judges, including the transport and so forth. Remember, if you're a judge, you get a free car and so forth. Mm-hmm. All those things you take. So you're paying a huge amount of cash for your former leaders, some of the former leaders of the judiciary, and so forth and so forth. Who came up with this stuff? I think I'm not as skeptical as my good friend here, Gareth Cliff, but the politicians do make the rules themselves. What would be interesting to look at would be the kinds of monies that we pay, for example, our diplomats. Why is it so many of our politicians after a stint in cabinet are very happy to take a diplomatic posting? I think that the perks, the monies that people receive for postings anywhere, whether it's a rubbish posting to Harare or a good posting to Washington DC, but I think if you want to see serious payments, it would be interesting to see what happens in the diplomatic service.
Yeah, and the other ones are all these people who we've got in acting positions, and all these people that we're paying to do gardening leave at home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we've been paying for Richard and Luli for how long? We've been paying for Ria Piecha for how long? They're all these people, and those are the obvious ones, the less obvious ones.
We paid Luli 7 million rand while he was on suspension for about 6-7 years. And that's not counting a lot of the perks he was getting. He was just sitting and getting it. So there is a lot of wastage there. But don't expect that plug to be closed, that hole to be plugged any minute, because the Minister of Public Enterprises is none other than Faith Mutambi.
Yeah.
And Faith Mutambi, as you know, was the Minister of Communications who allowed our good friend, Mr. Claudi Motsoeneng, to go.
Where's he?
A new broom sweeps clean. He's very quiet at the moment.
Yeah, you bet he's quiet.
He's most possibly going to be replaced by Chris Maruleng at the SABC. You know, life moves on. He will probably face some kind of legal action down the line. But this is a man who was responsible basically for giving MultiChoice the rights to the SABC archives. And it's basically handing the history, the visual history and the audio history of South Africa to a private entity.
All right, we've covered a lot of ground. I think that's enough for us to chew on for a week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Can I just say one last thing before
sure.
I leave?
Sure.
Mabale, please forgive me for this. But
is it about another dig at the Free State?
I'm just talking about.
Oh.
I just thought, isn't it amazing? I mean, Musebenzi Zwane, the Mineral Resources Minister, this whole thing with the farm in the Free State. The dairy farm, that money, that 220 million rand that was allocated, was supposed to buy Farmer Gareth, Farmer Ben, Farmer Sia, Farmer Mabale, Farmer Justice. Each one you get 5 dairy cows, and you go off and start off and you build up on that. Do you know this project was announced with much fanfare way back in 2012-2013?
Sure.
Not a single person, not a single one, after government paid 220 million, not a single person has received a single moo cow. Not one, not a single moo anywhere in the Free State. But the minute the money came in, but what's going on? The minute the money comes in, the Department of Agriculture in the Free State under Musebenzi Zwane pays Atul Gupta 10 million rand.
Mm-hmm.
That's the priority.
That's the priority. Oak Bay Resources fees 16 million rand or whatever
sure.
it is. There are all these payments. And money goes to Dubai and then comes back and pays for the wedding in Sun City. Sure. The wedding where, by the way, they said, oh, we can't have black people serving us. Can we have some white people?
Let's not forget that.
You know, I mean, this stuff is
We don't mind having black servants in government, but we have a problem with them serving us at the table.
The black servants just have to give us their 220
And just one other thing while you're throwing in your bugbear, because this Free State thing bothers you a lot. But here's my bugbear for this morning. So what did we talk about earlier? We were saying how the DA people keep on virtue signaling about how they save water. So what did Helen post this morning? She had a bucket of her filthy water that she's just washed her hair in. She goes, water from Monday hair wash, ready to go into the toilet cistern. No one in Cape Town should be using fresh water to flush. Turn off the cistern tap, fill it with grey water, and flush as little as possible. There she is with a filthy picture of her bucket of hair wash water that she's going to pour back into her toilet.
Thank you so much for Helen, I really appreciate you showing me
some stuff
bucket.
We don't need to see.
I hate to break it to you, but Helen, where Helen is in life, she is going to put a turd picture up one of these days. Soon. She's going to just forget and she'll put it up there.
Look at how little water is in my turds.
Telling you, she's so into it, she's just going to have no
filter. Look at how virtuous I am, saving water everywhere. All right, thanks, Justice.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, guys. Cool.
There we go. Justice Malala, The Burning Platform. On cliffcentral.com, brought to you by Nando's. Only Nando's can get you this kind of insight into what's going on, courtesy of Justice Malala. And we will return next Monday. In case you're confused, it is not a Thursday. We're going to be speaking to Justice on Mondays for a little while. And if you are already, you know, licking your lips about the political events of this week and can't wait for more, just hang in until next Monday. Or go back and listen to this podcast again. You cannot go wrong. Tell us what you think. You can also go onto WhatsApp, 0797482090. You can get us on the phone if you'd like. You know how to do that, right? All you have to do is call us on 0861-555-189. And that is just a little bit of what's coming up. Still to come, we're going to check in with Rich Mulholland. Is he on for the Burning Platform, for the reality check today? And then after that, we'll also have an interesting interview that I recorded just a short while ago with DJ Zinhle. A lot of people love Zinhle, and I can understand why. She came in here, and we talked to her about all kinds of stuff. Her personal life, her daughter. She's a hardworking South African. She has a hell of a story to share. And it's a really, really interesting, really personal, really incisive, insightful interview. So stick around for that. All of that and more on the way. We're not going to play Amy Winehouse. She's been dead for so long. It's time to move on. It's Camila Cabello with Crying in the Club. Monday morning, cliffcentral.com. It's time for the reality check with Rich Mulholland. What's going on? What? Oh, let me remind you, if you haven't voted in the One Plan Cliff Central Pet Parade yet, which Cliff Central pet looks most like their owners? I went and voted 5 times, and I have to say I was equitable. I voted for Ben once. I voted for me once. I voted for Charmaine once from Casper's show. I voted for Casper, and then I had one vote left, and I gave it to Michael from One Plan. You can go and take a look.
Look, as much as I love a good competition and I like to win,
yeah,
it's pretty clear that Ari and his dog, I mean,
you think they're the winners?
Same.
I didn't vote for them because I thought Ari would be drumming up his own support, you know? You know, he's a campaigner.
Yeah, but him and his dog have the same eyes, the same smile, and that same kind of millennial glare.
His dog, Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
They do look like... He and his dog are the most similar. I agree with you. Maybe I should go and try and register under another email address. Cheat the system and vote for him as well. Well, you can vote for me and Carl, for Ben and Meowses, for the Casper radio team. He's got Helfrida and Kent, Casper. Charmaine has got Udo. Gavin and Cody, that's Gavin Prince from Casper's show, Rion and his dog Teddy, and Ari Kelman with Chi-Chi. And then you can go and vote for Michael Otten, who we met last week with his dogs Daisy and Bean, those very cute little beagles.
Yeah, I think CF voted for that last option there.
I'll bet you he did. Stand a chance of winning some cash by voting for the best lookalike. That's right, you could win money. We don't expect you to do things for nothing. We'll take time out of your day to vote, and we're not going to give you a reward. Right, Mubs?
Because nothing in this world is for free.
Right, just ask the Guptas. Except ours is not... It's not public money. This is our money we're going to give to you. You can go in and vote for the best lookalike. Go to cliffcentral.com and see the pics and vote. And you can also win by posting your picture with your pet and you on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And make sure you tag hashtag petparade and at cliffcentral.com so we can find all the entries. And we could reward you there as well. So if you think you look like your pet or you've got a family member who looks like a pet, then put that up there. Just remember to tag hashtag pet parade, and make sure you also reference cliffcentral.com on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram. Entries close at the end of January. T's and C's apply. Make sure you also have pet insurance for your cat or dog to get them the best medical care when they need it. With One Plan Pet Insurance, you can claim for a vet visit before you even see the vet. Ensure the health of your pets from as little as 133 rand a month. Just SMS Cliff. That's CLIFF to 31644. You got that? That's Cliff to 31644 now, and One Plan will call you back. That's Cliff to 31644. Do it today. All right, is Rich there? Yay. Phone or Skype? Okay, he's on Skype. See, he's actually written it out on his laptop screen.
He Look is very thorough, this young man.
Mr. Mulholland, how are you?
Hello there.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I haven't spoken to you in the new year yet, so happy new year. And I know we can only do this for another day or two, and then it starts getting really tired. Did you have a good Christmas and new year and holiday, or is it just a blink? Is it a memory in the distant past?
No, not at all. In fact, but to some degree, the being back at work is more of a holiday. There's nothing like traveling and visiting family every 2 days. I mean, my family is amazing, but just getting up and moving and getting up and moving and getting up and moving, that's... very quickly tires you out. So I came back, went back to work, and felt like that was my holiday.
I love that. All right, so what do you want to talk about today?
Well, it was more about what you guys were talking about, and it's about the news, or like, you know, Zuma, what's happening, stepping down, what does that mean, right, what's going on. And I wrote a column a couple of years ago for Destiny Man. Yeah. And it was about blissful ignorance. And it says that, you know, like one of the top killers of people these days in your middle ages is stress, and stress is bad and it's hard to control. And often the stress comes from things we read and what's going on and how it affects us. And, oh, my God, the sky is falling down.
Right.
And I feel like a big part of this, the kind of the killer ingredient in this is the news.
Right.
I know this is quite ironic talking to you guys because, you know, it's part of your stock and trade. However, there's a problem with the news. So to me, the problem with the news is that we are getting a half-baked story and stressing on the outcome based on that. So we're not seeing something to its completion, to its natural end. And for the most part, unless you're a business analyst or maybe a trader, or, you know, if you're in one of those jobs in which the news absolutely affects how you do your job, for the most part, you'd be far better off spending your time reading history or learning about something after the fact. So I love learning about things that happened, even near history. But I want to make sure that I read the story when the whole story arc is run its completion, when I'm getting to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think jumping in the middle just creates a bit of a panic, and everything sounds terrible, and we spend so much time and emotion and energy in this middle place where we're talking about the news and we're complaining about, oh my God, this is happening and this is terrible, that we forget that actually this too shall pass and there will be a change, and it's not going to have nearly the effect on your life that you think it will. So, and even if it does, there's nothing you could have done halfway through stressing about it that would have made any meaningful change.
So are you saying a perspective and a context is far more useful than kind of the day-to-day churn of news?
Well, yes, I think reflection is more important. I think understanding what's shaped the world that we live in is very, very important. And that might mean finishing reading about something that happened a year ago. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Steinhoff. Now, all these companies in the States, JP Morgan, all these companies, I mean, this is the biggest whack these big American businesses have taken since the financial crisis. But right now, we still can't see the full ramifications of what has happened and how it's affected the world.
Right.
Now, in 6 months, that's going to be a very, very interesting book to read. It's going to be a great story to learn from, to understand. But right now, it's just a panic. It's just a, oh, shit. Or even, you know, because maybe it doesn't affect many people, it's like, ah, shit, that sucked. Some people have lost their money, others haven't. But I think that we need to learn from these things. The problem is, by the time we get there, 6 months on, by the time the Steinhoff story becomes extremely interesting and very, very powerful to learn from, at that point, it's become old news. And we're too busy reading the current affairs to bother looking back at that. The only way most people will ever hear about the Steinhoff story is if somebody makes a film, right? Yeah. And that, for me, is a flaw, is I think we need to be looking back and reflecting on things and learning more. I would love you to have a segment where you talk about the kind of finished news from a year ago. So how much did this really affect us? How much did we really pick up on this? What were the ramifications of this happening? I mean, we're coming close to a year from when everybody took that Friday off and marched up the streets and then gave me shit because I complained because I said that nothing's really going to change. And they said, no, but it's positivity. But nothing has changed. We should reflect on our actions. We should look back and say, when we marched through these streets, was that real? And we should do the same with any big major event that happens. What was the net effect? What did we learn from this? And what are we going to do differently in the future?
So we've also, if we're going
we're talking
to-
from the eye of the storm, sorry.
No, if we're going to do that, then we also need to be patient because this kind of thing requires a little bit of distance. So what are you meant to do in the interim is just kind of let these things pass by until we can analyze them for their real value.
Yes, I know it sounds horrific and horrible, but I mean, I just absolutely ignore the news. And I know you can't because by virtue of your job, but I absolutely ignore the news, and especially political news.
Yeah.
And unless I'm prepping to come on your show or doing something, I really do my best to avoid getting in any way panic-stricken about something that's happening around the world today because we've not seen it out to its completion. If it's a big enough thing, it will land on my doorstep. I don't have to seek out looking at it. Go out seeking it out.
Right.
And I think that there's better ways that we can use our time and there's better information we can fill our brain with than current affairs. I think current affairs is like high calorie, low nutrition information for your brain.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, I see that. That makes a lot of sense. So what are you reading? I mean, I'm curious if you've obviously been picking up some interesting books over the holidays, and maybe you've been reading some interesting stuff online, listening to good podcasts. I mean, what's keeping you fed?
Well, right now sitting in front of me is the Daily Stoic. So that's my morning. I have the Daily Stoic and the Daily Stoic Journal, and that's, geez, now we're talking, you know, thousands of years old writings. So I read that every morning. That's part of how I get started. Then I take the journal and I read that. I'm reading an allegory called The Tiger and the Acrobat, which is on living. And then I'm reading a kind of spy thriller. Oh, and then one I've just started. So I've always got a couple of books on the go, and I usually get through them quite quickly. I like to depend on my mood. It's a new historical book by Bernard Cornwall, written from the perspective of the brother of William Shakespeare.
Oh, wow.
But I'm only about a chapter in that. I started on the weekend.
That sounds pretty interesting. See, I knew I'd get a thoughtful answer out of you on that one.
Yeah, I also wrote once why I think that we make a mistake on reading as many business books as we do, and that you can learn so much from well-written fiction nowadays. It's so well-researched. I mean, even in this book already, I'm learning about how the playhouses were built, the politics of the time, what happened. And there's a lot of very good stuff you can learn from that because we can see it play out, which comes back into this.
Right.
So I'm not suggesting to people not to read. I'm suggesting to read things that they can draw real conclusions from, that they can absolutely learn from because there is a conclusion, and spend your time on that. Staying up to date with current affairs is generally just an appetite for frustration.
Yeah, and it never really rewards you. Like you say, it's kind of a high-calorie, low nutrition. I like that. All right, thanks, Rich. Always useful to talk to you.
Cool, guys.
Prioritizing
shit. Awesome.
Thanks, man. Cool.
Take it easy.
Rich Mulholland, everybody, with a reality check for a Monday morning. Jeez, it's been a busy day, huh? We've had Anthea in here, we had Justice, we've had Rich. Hardly had a moment to throw a word in edgeways.
It's good. It sets the pace for the week.
Damn right. All right, coming up, DJ Zintle and plenty more. And by the way, here's a message from Mariska. She says, hey, what's up with all these interview replays? Don't interesting people want to talk to you anymore? Do you think your listener's attention span is like a spinach seedling? Should we suggest some names of interesting people for you to talk to so you can give us some fresh content? Are you scaling down, preparing for the end? Nirman meh. Well, Mariska, there is a fortune of stuff. I cannot sustain doing 3 solid hours, 5 days a week. There is no one in South Africa who's producing that much content daily. And it's just not sustainable. I'm going to either burn out and then you'll have nothing, or I'm going to start replaying some of the stuff you might have missed that's terrific. If any of it's boring, then let me know. But when we replay these things, it's probably because a lot of people have missed them. And we're doing fresh interviews. I've got 2 scheduled for today that we're going to be playing out. So just chill. Chill a little bit. Let me run this business. You do whatever you do, Mariska. Make sandwiches or whatever it is.
Hawatong. You know, she was just asking Shem. She even offered to be helpful.
I've got to do this. This is me. She asked. She engaged the bear. Look what happens. It's like in that Leo DiCaprio movie. Except I think I might be Leo DiCaprio when she comes back. No, Mariska, I love you. Of course I'm trying to put out good content, but less is more. We're doing so much. And we've got, 40 shows a week coming out of here? Can't do that. It's exhausting. I'm focusing on the stuff that's making us money, honey. That's what I got to do. All right. Somebody said, Justice was on a Monday and I missed it. Well, don't worry. You can always get the podcast. And then if you somebody here on Twitter, listening to cliffcentral.com, and I just went to look at the pets and to vote, and I'm going to send you a picture of my pet, she says. So there we go. And then Mervin from Pretoria, Soshanguve, says, I've been searching for your direct email address until one loyal fan of the radio station gave me this number. May I please get your email address? You won't regret your time. Ketu. Okay, so Ketu, the best thing you can do is email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. You know, I can't make it easier than that. So there we are. That's the email address. And don't forget, we've got a huge week of really important stuff happening this week with plenty of good interviews, so stick around for that. Coming up, DJ Zintle, we will see you live tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Got to check on that. All right, here it is. This is what you need to know this morning. rain is forecast for the Cape today. Huh? Ta-da! Many are frantically gathering whatever buckets they can to capture the precious resource. Musi Maimane is one of them. He just ordered a DA intern to buy him a paper cup, which he will put out in the rain and take a photo of it this afternoon to prove to his social media that he really cares about the crisis. Well, sort of. The Zuma exit plan is becoming an ever-evolving story, but it's not just uJacob involved here. It's all those that benefit from his plundering. Khulubuse Zuma is one such person, someone who is shopping like there's no entitled tomorrow. 3 Rolls Royces over the weekend proved this, but he insists they are investments. He plans to sell them to Bob Mugabe's children. Between crashing their cars or having them confiscated by Grace, those boys need new wheels desperately. And finally, Alexis Sanchez is about to become the highest paid earner in the Premier League. Ben told us about that this morning. Making an estimated 7.5 million rand a week. His girlfriend has mixed feelings about this. Sure, it means better holidays and nicer apartments. But the pay rise puts him in a higher cheating bracket. According to the official FIFA cheating calculator, Sanchez now falls under the 4 home mistresses and 2 away mistresses bracket, which means he will have pretty serious STDs by April. Yes, you get to hear it all right here on cliffcentral.com. Let's give Cardi B a chance, shall we? Just for Justice Malala this morning, his favorite artist that he's just discovered.
This is CliffCentral.com.